On and on, throughout the day, the Greeks descended from the pass, taking up their positions, until, by the time that they were finally embedded, Mardonius found that he was staring at the largest hoplite army ever assembled in a single place, almost 40,000 men. Against these fearsome numbers, he himself could muster perhaps twice as many again. But he would have had no illusions that his infantry, only lightly armed and armoured, could hope to overrun the Greek positions. Instead, only two options appeared to give him any real prospect of victory. The first was somehow to lure the allies down to the plain, and then to trust that their various contingents, unaccustomed as they were to fighting side by side, would blunder apart and prove easy meat for his cavalry. The second was to sow divisions among the enemy ranks with a strategic deployment of bribes, and then to wait for the endemic rivalries that afflicted all Greek coalitions to take hold. Horsemen and spies, the deadliest weapons as they'd ever been in the Persian armory. And Mardonius, looking to coordinate their deployment, decided that his first move should be to resume the war of nerves that he had been waging all summer against the Athenians. Simultaneously, even as he dispatched agents to infiltrate their camp, he ordered his cavalry to launch a hit-and-run raid on the allied lines. A cunningly crafted pincer attack, except that it didn't go entirely according to plan. First, far from demoralizing the Greeks, the cavalry raid served only to boost their morale. For the Persian commander, a hulking dandy who had ridden into battle sporting a purple tunic and an eye-catching cuirass of golden fish scales, had his Nisaean horse shot from under him and ended up dead and exposed on a wagon being paraded before the gawping allied troops. Shortly afterwards, Aristeides uncovered treachery in the Athenian camp. He could hardly ignore the plot, but not wishing to stick his nose too far into the orgy, he contented himself with arresting only the 8 most prominent conspirators. 2 of these fled. The other 6, ordered to redeem themselves in the coming battle, were released without charge. There was no more talk of treachery from that moment on in the Athenian camp.